Welcome to The Baraza, a show that aims to talk about Africa, the African story, and the African experience. Each week, we take on various topics which, throughout the course of the season, will not only educate, inform, and also entertain. I'm your host, Benjamin Walgwe, joined in studio by my co-host, Patrick Wandolo. Today, we talk about Africa and Africans. Who are Africans? What is Africa? Let's talk. So, Patrick.
Yes, Benjamin, how are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
I'm good.
How's your week been?
Interesting, under the prevailing current conditions, you know, during COVID, but not bad. Yeah, just trying to keep safe.
Okay, that's good.
You know, yes.
I think we're all trying to do the same.
Yes, being that, as they call it, the fourth wave could be dangerous with the Indian variant of COVID.
But, are we in the fourth, or we are going to the third?
For us, it's the third. Most other countries are doing their fourth.
Yeah.
We just finished our second. Rather, we are finishing our second.
Okay.
Yes.
Interesting.
Mm.
Okay. So today, being our first episode, I thought that it would only be good if we started by talking about, you know, Africa and Africans. I think that's where we would begin.
Yeah, that's okay with me.
Yeah, so what I mean by Africa and Africans is, we all know Africa, we all know Africans, but do we really know who Africans are, and do we really know what Africa is? So what do you think? Who are Africans, Patrick?
Africa, the cradle of mankind. Africa is a great continent that has, in my opinion, or as we called it back in the day, Abyssinia, or Ethiopia as it was called back in the day.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow, Abyssinia. Yeah. I think I've come across, has a movie been done on Abyssinia or something like that?
A number of movies, I think back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the land called Abyssinia. But there are several schools of thought, like the word Africa, and a different school of thought says that it's coined from the Egyptian word Afru-Ika, meaning motherland.
Wow.
Yeah, yes. And then there's another version that claims that Africa was originally known as Al-Kebula.
Al-Kebula?
Yeah, which was imposed by the Arabs after they invaded and conquered the northern part of the continent.
Damn, Patrick, are you a historian?
No, it's just interest, you know, just trying to find yourself, trying to understand yourself, you know, amongst all the bombardment of theories, and just trying to get the real history, where we came from, who, our greatness, because what's projected out there is the African mainstream white media that probably don't understand our culture as much. So when you go out there, you'll find maybe what they project out there is poverty, war, you know, the dark continent, so to speak, you know, that narrative of the dark continent. Yeah, a lot of people out there still think that we keep lions as pets and we live on trees. So, you know, in the most of educated places, it's amazing, you know, the level of ignorance about Africa and what Africa has offered to the world. We're now online, and without Africa, we'd not have the mobile phone, because most of those minerals come from the great DRC, Democratic Republic of.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
I think we're talking about coltan here, right?
Yes. Oh, correct.
Yeah, that's true.
And now they have the electric cars, and most of the cobalt comes from DRC. That's used in the batteries for the electric cars.
Oh wow, yes, that is again true. Yeah.
I personally, I think the African story was left in the hands of the white people to tell our own story. Think it's time for us to tell the African story, our success, our strengths, and without bias. So, because Africa has great stuff to offer, and it's ironical that at the same time when they project Africa as a place full of poverty and everything,
Yes.
when they think of a vacation spot, that's the first place they want to run to, despite all the stories that they coin out there.
100%.
Yeah, so it's ironical. I mean, if it's that unsafe, then why, and disease prone, and we're just falling like flies, then why come on vacation when winters the have gotten the better part of them? Yeah,
That's true.
so yep, so I think a lot of the colonial powers should be very grateful for Africa, because if it weren't for them, they wouldn't have achieved the greatness that they have, in terms of Africa has supplied free labor for them, unwillingly and willingly now through slavery, and of course brain drain now, and at the same time the plunder of African resources. We call them conflict minerals. Yeah, so where they ride high is mostly because of the cradle of mankind, the breadbasket of the world, Africa. Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
Damn. Wow. What an introduction to who Africans are.
Okay, I'm on a roll, man. I'm
On
on
a
a
roll. So how about this? Now that you went into, conflict minerals and you mentioned a few, I'd like to give you some data.
All right, thank you.
And at the end of the data,
Yes.
I'd like your opinion on what direction you feel that we need to go and what solutions we can come up with.
Okay.
Because I don't think, talking about problems is fantastic, but we also have to,
We have to add
dive
new.
deep into some sort of solutions, We may
Yes,
not have
indeed.
all of them. So number one,
Yes.
Africa in terms of area, right? We're looking at 30.37 million square kilometers. And I'd like to compare it to a couple of other, areas. And I'll move to China, for example. China is 9.6 million square kilometers. The US is 9.8 square kilometers.
Yes.
Europe is 10.18 square kilometers.
Yep.
So that being said, I think just by looking at that data on itself, we can openly say that Africa is bigger than all of Europe, China, and the United States combined.
Combined, exactly.
Exactly. Now,
Yes.
if we look at most of the world maps and how Africa is depicted on the world map, it's
Yeah.
depicted. Do you think the area in terms of square kilometers is depicted as it needs to be, considering the fact that it is bigger than the three areas that I mentioned combined?
Wow, Benjamin, Benjamin.
Yes.
Yes, I that is definitely an issue that perplexes me, because definitely from the maps that we have currently, it doesn't depict that. It doesn't depict that at all. So I presume it's because they are driving a certain whatever
Who
agenda.
Who are they, first of all? Who are we talking about? Because, you know, the listeners might be wondering, who are these people?
So
who are they? When you say they, who are these people who, you know, who are you referring to?
Would I say the scientists?
Scientists.
The guys who mapped out the, you know, the world. The fathers of, you know, the Christopher Columbuses, you know, all those guys. And when mm-hmm. they were exploring the planets, and initially they thought the world was flat, isn't it?
Well, that is a very controversial topic on its own.
Yes, you know? Yes. Initially, they thought
I think we can tackle in a very totally different episode.
Yeah. So I'm just saying that it you know, and a large percentage of the world is made of water, right?
Yeah.
So as time went by, they kept on changing. And then there's the issue of continental drift.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whereby they say, okay, there was also another school of thought that said that Egypt is not in Africa. But eventually that school of thought changed. Eventually. Mm-hmm. But it's still depicted like it's not in Africa or it's not part of Africa. If you see what they depict in movies.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I presume in terms of the great monarchies then, the Roman Empire, the British Empire back then, knew what they were doing. When, because in terms of colonizing, that was part of an agenda to depict Africa as a place that needs help, as a place that they could scramble for, who really were subhuman and were not very significant, according to me. That's my own personal mm-hmm. opinion, but I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's neither here nor there, but, you know, I'm yet to go through any material, you know, because of course mainstream media is also controlled. So I'm yet to, you know, bump into some material that I can say for a fact that this is the agenda. But we've always known that there've been, you know, the New World Order, the old order of things, and the world government. So
mm-hmm.
we know that they've been driving certain agendas, like now the controversial population control, where they're saying that the growth of the African population at one time will supersede the ability for us to supply them with natural resources to survive. So they want to reduce world population because they foresee a clamor. So all these people, some call them conspiracy theories,
mm-hmm.
but there are always people who are scheming in the background, the ones who control the world.
Yeah, well, part of it is fact, because if you look at the UN data,
yes,
you're looking at a rate of, by I think 2050.
Yeah, they said 2050.
You're going to have about a billion children alone churning off, coming out of Africa or being
yeah.
born. And I'm not talking about youth, I'm talking about children.
We're busy.
So yeah, it's about to become chocolate continent again, chocolate world again. So,
is it?
Yeah. So actually, I would say so.
Look at it this way, you know, more Africans, because for one to oppress, in my own opinion. For one to mm-hmm. oppress you or feel the need to oppress you, mm-hmm. he has seen something that has threatened him. He has seen a certain strength within you that mm-hmm. Deems him, if I let you thrive or reach your true potential, then you will supersede my ability to control you, or you will achieve excellence that I cannot curtail. So I will see the need to oppress you. But if you find that no one is a threat, then you won't bother with them.
Mm.
If a person isn't a threat, you won't bother with them. So that ability, that African, whereby we supplied them with the wonders of the world, you know, the pyramids and stuff, and that technology, and Africa has so many firsts in terms of, apart from being the cradle of mankind, we have the first evidence of the first fishing expeditions in Africa, in Zaire, in a place called Katanga. We were the first to engage in mining 43,000 years ago. At Bovu.
Hit it, man.
Yeah.
The data doesn't lie, though.
Yeah. Africans pioneered basic arithmetic. Arithmetic, rather.
Even naval navigation.
Imagine.
Using dugout canoes, and they were using currents.
Astrology. Cultivation 12,000 years ago. Evidence found in Egypt. We're the first, you know, morticians, you know, the mummified. We used to buy our mummies in Egypt and in West South. In fact, the earliest were in Southwest Libya, to be precise. So mummification, we started doing these things way back. But of course, African achievements were not celebrated. So the true African story is not told because it's being told from a different lens. And there's so much, you know, colossal sculptures, which is the Sphinx of Giza. So,
question for you, Patrick.
Yeah.
You just mentioned the Sphinx and all this, and I remembered. Why is it that most of the noses on the depiction of the pharaohs, like on the, you know, the different statues that have in Egypt, why is it that most of the noses have been chopped off? That's kind of weird, though. I was like, chopped noses all across their country?
Because it's a fat nose like yours and mine. It's an African nose. And you see the narrative, when you see them depicting any movies about Egypt, they're putting all, you know, it's white people. But we have pyramids all the way to the land of the Kush, Sudan, wherever, they have pyramids.
And Sudan has like 300, I think 300 plus pyramids, right?
Yeah, but do you hear of them? Are they mainstream media? Are these taught? Even the curriculum that we have, we adopted it from the British, so it's not actually tailor-made for Black excellence. They teach us the history that they think is going to be expeditious towards their agenda, just like the way they make up heroes for us. They elevate heroes for us. They create puppets and then elevate them. So they're writing. I'll give you an example.
So hold on. I gotta clarify something to the listeners. What Patrick means by they is he's referring to the West. So the West, you're gonna hear they a couple of times, but it refers to the West in general.
Yeah, I'll be specific, sorry. Because, you know, we've chatted with you, Benjamin, too much, so we're on the same wavelength, but I'm forgetting that. Yeah, we're out there to spread this knowledge and awareness to Africa. And I'll give an example like Jomo Kenyatta. It's controversial, maybe. When the Mau Mau were busy fighting the British in the bush, where was Jomo? He was being educated by the very same people who were fighting. Now, which enemy empowers you? Which enemy? If we even use the example of slavery in the US, where the slaves have the ability to read and write, which enemy shall empower you to an extent whereby you can mobilize resources and speak to the world and speak of the injustice happening in your country? But they educated him and did slaughter him. Not while they were slaughtering our people, they were educating and did slaughter him and really protected him. And then they brought him to us and projected him like a hero. But he was a colonial puppet, because once he sat on that seat, whose interests did he look after? The interests. Blah, blah, blah.
And since the after fall of the tree, the junior one is doing the same.
Protecting British interests. When it came to the ICC, nothing happened. In fact, Bensouda found herself almost out of a job. So who was protecting?
So Patrick. Controversial. I'm assuming the whole world is listening right now. So
yes.
You mentioned Jomo Kenyatta. That should be the first president of Kenya, the country Kenya.
Of Kenya, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Who is? A lot of people, and he's celebrated around the world as a Pan-Africanist, and a freedom fighter. But we look at it in the situation whereby once he sat on that seat, the Mau Mau were fighting for their land and for this country and for liberation. Mm-hmm. Because they've been put in concentration camps. And the Mau Mau, by the way, is not only people, the Kikuyu tribe from Kenya, the Mau Mau, the freedom fighters from all over.
Mm.
The most affected were the Kikuyu because of their land, their fertile land.
Mm. Now, Patrick, I'll cut you short right there, because what you've just brought up, that is 100% a topic on its own. We can do the history of
it's
Kenya.
It's long, yeah.
We can do the history of Kenya.
Yes, we can do that.
We can then figure out what went wrong, what happened.
Yes.
You know, so yeah, we can do that on another, you know, on another episode. Although
back to Africa.
Back to the area.
Yeah.
So I think that in terms of the maps, it's kind of deliberate to create a visual effect of a small Africa. Now,
yep, it must be.
This would be basically just to manipulate, brainwash, and deceive Africans wherever they are. It's not, you know, Africans, when we talk of Africa, we just think about Africa per se, but there are Africans all over.
Everywhere, exactly.
Now, if you're looking at a map and the depiction is what you see, it also invokes a feeling in you about, you know, what your origin is, I think. So it
yes,
kind of
it does.
Like a, like
it does.
Inferior, it creates like an inferiority complex, per se.
Yeah, it would. Being that, you know, that kind of underdog depiction, everything small and dark.
Wow.
Yeah, everything small and dark. It plays on the psyche. If you hammer it in.
Yeah.
From the word go, when your kids are in play school, and you drill this into them, so mind control is not some great grand machine that you know, you're with cables all connected all over the place.
Yeah.
No, it's actually miseducation from a very young age.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like how we depict Africans in, who are the first ones to die in a movie, or do they take leadership roles yeah, I'm gonna go there. But, you know, the Miro dies in the African dies in the most ridiculous manner in movies, and of course this is backed by the evidence of even the way the issue of the Oscars and Africans being awarded for their excellence in film production and everything.
Mm.
It came to a point whereby it had to be affirmative action.
Mm.
Yeah, but we don't want gifts. We want it through merit. But that's the way, you know, Africans are predicted, depicted, in movies. And even if you look at it from the aspect of, we're talking about how do we bring up our children having that self-esteem and accepting how great they are and loving the color of their skin and their melanin that protects them from the UV rays and is an antioxidant. How do we not let
them
teaching themselves? You get it?
Mm.
But when, from a young age, the kind of cartoons and animated movies they're watching are full of white characters, maybe one black character who is a groupie, you know, who follows the big crowd, and they play with Barbie dolls.
Mm.
In fact, have you asked yourself why it's so difficult getting an African doll? And if you do get one, it's very expensive.
Well,
yeah,
I think
in the shops, but you will.
I think guys need to start
readily get
Barbie producing dolls. Them.
But why aren't they being produced? You know. And
because
when you get,
again, there's a depiction of what is good and what is bad, you know.
Yes, because everything dark is, the color black is associated with everything dark.
Darkness, man.
Are you seeing the association? The yes. Huh? Are you getting it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if my child, I have my young daughters here, who I bought them a black doll, and they hardly play with it. And ask myself, am I really doing it right?
But
what's the rest of society bombarding them with? So a child grows up knowing that what they're watching, the white guy is the one who's strategizing, sitting at the board, and, you know, executes. The black guy is like, the guy who follows.
Mm.
And they grow up, that's what mind control is all about. They grow up depicting that, okay, the white person is more superior to me. Having lighter skin is more beautiful.
Mm.
Why is lighter skin more beautiful? Yet melanin has many benefits. And who are the same people who sell us those skin lightening creams and stuff, which eventually, but why are the rates of skin cancer so minuscule in Africa? Because of our melanin. So just the same way when they depict Jesus as white, you know, Jesus would need some sunscreen and shades to be walking and strolling all that time.
Wow.
At the expense of being white. But you know, one of the things I think about, he'd need sunscreen, man.
Yeah.
If he was white, but you know, where is Jerusalem? It's nowhere near Europe, man. So why are you depicting a white Jesus? So, you know, those are the kind of questions I ask myself.
Uh-huh.
And yet the same Bible tells us in a verse that Jesus had the skin color, is it of copper? And he had woolly hair.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a description of an African. Nappy hair.
Yeah. Preach it, Pat. Preach it. Yeah. Now back to my data, because we didn't finish my data, right?
Sorry, yes, let's get back to that.
So, if we were to look in terms of production, right?
Yep.
60% of Africa, you know, is arable land.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Which means that 60% of 30.37 million square kilometers can produce food.
Wow.
Okay.
Well,
now,
yes.
Let me add on to that. Africa has 90% of the raw material reserve. Okay?
Yes.
40% of global gold reserve.
Yes.
33% of diamond reserve.
Platinum.
80% of global reserve of coltan, which you mentioned earlier.
Yes.
So, yeah. Good luck, Huawei, if we close. If Africa decides that, you know what, we are not, we are going to manufacture phones ourselves.
Yeah,
anyway.
You see, I like that you brought that up.
Yeah, let me go on.
Please go ahead.
60% of global reserve of cobalt, which you mentioned also.
Yep.
Has the most fish-rich coastline in the world. Mm-hmm. This is in Namibia.
Yeah.
Rich in manganese. Rich in iron.
Wow.
Rich in wood.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Should I go on?
Oh, the list goes on and on. I don't think you can finish. Because we haven't even spoken about uranium and platinum.
Yep.
Africa has vast resources, and we serve the rest of the world. And the main thing, my main issue right now currently is intra-African trade. And there's something that the African Union did in 2019. They introduced the AFCFTA. That's the African Continental Free Trade Area.
Mm-hmm.
To encourage intra-African trade, because currently African exports only account for only 17%.
Mm.
Of the world exports compared to other within Africa, yeah, intra-Africa, 17%, sorry, yes, as compared to our trade with, say, Asia, which is 59%, and Europe, 68%.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we have all these minerals,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and now in terms of the whole world, we only account for 2% of the world's global. 2%.
Yeah.
You know, that's including value chain, because we mostly export raw materials. So value addition is a big issue.
Isn't that ridiculous in itself?
It's ridiculous.
We are producers and consumers. But we don't we don't value add anything.
We don't.
So we produce, we sell it out, we sell the raw material. It comes back to us as a finished product. And then it costs us five times the cost of surely.
Exactly. It's totally ridiculous, because if you look at it, I'm hoping this African trade area works out, because we should not even be talking about hunger in Africa, because, you know, just across our neighbors, you know, DRC, wherever their soils are rich. Even if you go through Uganda, you know, bananas grow, you know, and fall on the ground. You know, there's so much food, and yet we go all the way to Asia to import rice.
Forget that. Imagine, pick any country in Europe coming to donate food to Africa. are you kidding me?
It's completely ridiculous. We even have the Congo forest that hasn't, the places that haven't been explored by human beings. I mean, we have the trees.
I'm telling you.
You know, places that haven't been, you know, ravaged by development. So yep. we still have. But, you know, this mentality of being so selfless, helpless, sorry.
Mm.
That we need a paradigm shift to be able to see our strengths. Just the same way, like in Kenya, I'll give you the example in terms of us exporting raw materials. I mean, we export our coffee only to re-import it back as Nescafe. How hard is it for us? How difficult is it for us?
Imagine to
process and come up with our own strong brands. Or how difficult is it for South Africa to start cutting and selling their own diamonds? Why do we have to export to go and
they do, but maybe you want to approach it from the perspective of who owns the mines.
Because and mines. Yeah. Who owns the mines? That's about you know, Nigeria being the one of the biggest oil exporters in OPEC, but you'll find that the guys, the companies that refine the oil are into, you know, big corporates, BP, Shell, international, not local companies.
Mm.
But in Nigeria, can you imagine they even have fuel shortages? And some petroleum dealers all over Nigeria.
Wow! Now that you mentioned that, let me continue. You've just brought it out of me, so I gotta continue with my list.
Yes, please do.
So, because I'm headed somewhere with this.
Okay.
So again, Africa is three times the area of China.
Yep.
Three times the area of Europe.
Yes.
Three times the area of United States of America.
Yes.
Now, Africa has 30.4 million square kilometers, basically the area of Africa, right?
Yep, yep.
With 1.3 billion inhabitants. Okay?
Yep.
China has 1.4 billion inhabitants in 9.6 million square kilometers. So do you see where I'm going with this?
Kind of? Yeah.
So they have no option but to spill out of their country into Africa.
Into other continents. And now this is a new scramble for Africa, neocolonialism, because I think our trade with China tops the list right now in Africa. It's to around $200 billion, if I'm not wrong.
You wonder why.
Yeah. And right now,
always ask why.
Have like 1 million Chinese in Africa, estimated.
and you know, Asia can go toe to toe with Africa in terms of baby production, man.
Oh yeah, yeah. Ah,
these guys multiply like popcorn.
Yes.
Popcorn, man.
Popcorn and cheese. Yeah.
No,
they pop it. They really pop it. You know, they behave that they are conservative, but you know the statistics don't show that. So they're busy under the sheets. They're very busy. Yes, indeed. But but you see, the thing is, if you look at it, you know, a lot of these Asian countries were third world countries with us, like the Malaysias, and you know, in the 60s, I think. Yeah, in the 60s, we were almost at the same economic or development level. But what have they done? We haven't. Yeah, those are the questions that we need to look into. How, and a lot of this comes from the aspect of leadership, because a lot of countries still have civil strife in Africa. But if we're talking about resources, conflict minerals, and how many countries in Africa actually manufacture arms? Is it one or two? Is it South Africa and Egypt or something like that?
Who do what?
Who manufacture ammunition, arms?
Oh man, I think I only know of South Africa.
Yeah, I think South Africa and Egypt. But look at the number of conflicts and the endless supply of guns from, of course, they call them, I don't know if they're illegal arms traders, or they've been sanctioned by government. We do not know, because there's always an endless, like Somali has an endless supply of AK-47s ever since I knew that. And then, you know, government, I mean, it's ridiculous. They've been selling them to Kenya. It's ridiculous. Is there an arms factory that Russia, you know, put up there that we don't know about, because there's an endless supply of AK? It's amazing.
Wow, huh? Man, did you cracked me up?
Yeah, and you know, I'll give you an example. Central African Republic right now, you know, they've been fighting for decades. First, it was France,
Yeah, can they even remember what they're fighting about?
No, there's nothing. These countries just come and supply them with guns and say, okay, now we're supplying those guys. Oh, but it's all about conflict minerals.
Yeah.
You guys defend yourselves. Those guys want to come and take your minerals. But us guys, we're going to supply you with arms and you protect yourselves and whatever. Us guys will give us mining rights. We'll give you something for.
Yeah.
And if you look through history, even if you look at DRC Congo, it's so sad. Patrice Lumumba, all the Pan-Africanists who had a good agenda for Africa.
Man, don't forget Sankara, man.
Sankara, Steve Biko.
Man.
Ken Saro-Wiwa, because of fighting for people and because big corporates, oil companies were doing to their land.
Yep.
They couldn't farm because of these big corporates had spilled oil all over their land.
Mm.
And died because of that.
Yeah.
You know, Steve Biko, and those are the true patriots of Africa, but they will not, anyone states of Africa, Gaddafi. Yeah, Libya Libya had the highest GDP at that time, I think, in Africa.
And I think biggest gold reserve.
Yeah, and oil.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And I think Libya refused to sell their oil to the US. The same mistake Saddam did. They bombed it without weapons of mass destruction. The UN was there, they found nothing. And anyway, we are still going to roll. And they still, and anyway, I can't blame the UN because their biggest financier is America. And it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, because all these conflicts are going on. The UN is in every one of these countries. But nothing is really done in terms of the Security Council or anything to protect the locals. All they do is go in there in the aftermath. And even what the UN was even accused of getting involved in the battle in Katanga.
Mm.
Katanga in DRC.
Mm.
Yeah. Back in the 60s or something like that, the Battle of Katanga. And these are documented. So UN has shown back some stages in its life. In its existence. Now we have a UN body, which has a number of permanent members, the Security Council, and some that are elevated every now and then. But at the end, they give one country veto power. So whatever you guys have been discussing for 3 months, it doesn't matter. America will just come and say, "Ah, you guys, man, there's nothing. I'm just going this other direction." So how does that how does that help the world?
Yo, Patrick. It's clearly going to be a lit season, man.
It's going
to be fire. So back to my data. Stick to my data.
Yes.
So let's continue.
Yes.
So the arable land alone in the DRC, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is capable of feeding all of Africa.
Yes, indeed.
And all of Africa's arable land is capable of feeding the entire world.
No. Yes, indeed.
Okay, now, you mentioned the DRC. DRC is one very interesting country, honestly.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is.
So, Congo has one of the most important rivers that I've ever come across.
Mm-hmm.
And this is River Congo.
And why is it important?
And the River Congo basically has the potential to light up the whole of Africa. Okay.
The hydroelectric capacity.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Now, during the rainy season, it can produce 50,000 cubic meters of water per second.
Oh my God!
As it flows into the Atlantic Ocean.
Okay? Oh my God!
Now, this could provide enough power for the whole of Sub-Saharan Africa. Okay? Yet,
oh my God.
Yet DRC has one of the lowest rates of electrification in the world. Okay?
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Their national, based on their data, this is 2013,
mm-hmm.
Their national access rate stands at 9%.
You're not serious?
With 1% in rural areas,
oh 19%
in urban areas. Yet they have the potential to install up to 1,000 megawatts of hydropower. Now, how about that for upside down thinking?
Oh.
But anyway, let me proceed.
Mind boggling.
Yes, and what you were talking about, you see, you were talking about the destabilization. Patrick.
Yes.
You,
go ahead.
You were talking about destabilization by external factors, right?
Yes, indeed.
And you know, Western companies, and as you mentioned, some African puppets have basically destabilized the DRC for decades. Okay.
Oh yes, indeed.
Because you know, Africa is diverse, man.
Yeah, because look at it.
Even if you come down to things like dance, music, architecture.
It's crazy. African art.
Now, hold on.
Yeah.
Africa produces, okay, or rather, accommodates about 30,000 recipes for medicines, okay, and herbs.
Oh yes.
When they leave here, they get modified in the West into, you know, in laboratories.
Yes.
And they are sold to us.
But yeah, big pharma.
Don't forget that in the labs there are additions of different things. It's not natural.
Yes, and hence the side effects now.
Exactly.
Yeah. You see, this is just. Now, that is the problem now when we have a continent that came from colonization, and the colonizers put in systems to propagate their agenda. Now, we continue to propagate that agenda instead of now reforming, doing full reforms to come up with our own agenda. We are still propagating the white. We have the colonial systems in lots of countries, even paperwork still going on. And hence now we are unable to tap into our true potential, proper leadership that can actually have vision for Africa in terms of food security, technology, you know, all sectors. We do not have those visionary, and the visionary ones were killed anyway along the way, because you know, the Patrice Lumumbas and everyone. Even if you just look at, you know, we can go back to Congo and look at it, what King Leopold did in the Congo. He killed over 16 million.
Man, that was obscene.
Yeah,
I don't even know where to categorize that, because dude, I've watched people like Hannibal Lecter. I don't even know where to categorize Leopold. King Leopold.
Savage is inhuman, because we know, just the same way we discussed the Holocaust that should be acknowledged in history.
That's true.
As yes, and this guy went into Congo and he found rubber trees growing wild. That's how fertile Congo is. And at that time, I think the bicycle had been invented. I can't remember which invention, but it needed rubber tires.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was giving the locals targets, and he was a ruthless man. And if you could not achieve your daily target of tapping rubber sap, then you either come with hands and feet, or yours will be taken off. So you will have, like, you know, the locals. Unfortunately, he would use the locals to oppress their fellows. So that alone is psychological torture. And he never differentiated from children and adults. He used to cut their limbs ruthlessly, and he enriched himself and left that country so ravaged and torn, depleting almost 16 million human beings.
Wow.
So the horror that Congo has gone through is historical. And you'll see that maybe that's where they got the habit of, you know, when they're rebels that raid villages, they cut the lips. And I'm trying to, I don't know if that's where they got that, you know, that habit of cutting off limbs.
Maybe they learned the level of brutality from those days.
Yeah. And here you are. Someone is telling you to, you know, these guys are coming to mine or mine your minerals, so we are going to arm you guys, and they go and arm the other side too. So you guys, while you're fighting, us guys, we're plundering your resources.
100%.
And if you look at it, like Mobutu, Kuku was a Bandu, Sese Seko, he was financed by the Americans.
That was the king of titles, man. That guy. I would like to see his business card, like his card. What did you say?
It would be a booklet, not a business card. It would be a booklet. And if you dare not mention his names, then you are in trouble. And you see, now good to mention, when you mention that there's only 1% access in the rural areas. Now, when Mobutu, as a rebel, who was financed by the Americans to overthrow the current government and to deal with Patrice, he was the one who ordered the murder of Patrice Lumumba.
Mm.
After he got, you know, he became president, of course, what you're told, that we shall protect you, but you shall take care of our interests. You shall, whatever trade agreements that favor us, you are going to implement them, while we shall make sure that you sit on that seat. So anytime any other person tries to attack, we shall back you. And that's what they do with these puppets. And so Mobutu got onto that seat and he said, because DRC is vast, he decided that he was not going to invest on infrastructure so that he cannot be attacked by rebels. Imagine that. Oh, wow. So even to the capital city, he made sure that he did not invest in infrastructure so that he cannot be attacked. But he eventually built a palace out of town. I heard it was in out of town, right in the middle of some forest, for security. And he had an international airport there. Crazy, crazy guy. You know, the way you go to the shops or to a 7-Eleven, that's the way you used to get onto a jet and go shopping in Paris or wherever. And of course, he was the darling of the French.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, getting to that, how many former French colonies still send their money to France? In fact, France would be nothing if those African countries, because there was an agreement, you know that, have you heard of the colonial tax?
Yep.
So a lot of these former French colonies don't even have reserve banks. So
the central bank.
Is it 14 or 16 countries? But I think they've reduced them. You know, a few have been, you know, awakened.
But they're trying to, the ECOWAS region are trying to come up with the ECO. I don't know why it's stalling, but yeah. You know?
But you see, that's now the West always will try and get people to infiltrate and weaken these organizations. Because if these organizations are successful, our regional blocs, then that's a threat to them. Because you imagine Africa having its own reserve bank. I mean, we'd have the strongest currency in the world, backed by all our bullion.
100%.
Yeah, we'll have a reserve bank, and then we're there with a common market. Yeah, whereby you can't run to Kenya because Uganda refused to sell to you coffee at a good rate. It's a common market, so take it or leave it. And that is what Gaddafi was calling for. And those guys looked at it and said, nah, that's not gonna happen. We're gonna starve to death. You imagine? 100%. Without all that money from Francophone, for their former colonies, France is nothing.
Zero
without that money. So they still hold on. That's why they're still fighting for Central African Republic, you know. And so they said, no, Gaddafi at that time, guys who didn't have jobs, he was providing, you know, welfare for them. There was housing, free housing, there was free education. Libya was thriving, but what changed?
propaganda. Think even, I think even when you got married, the couple would get $5,000 each.
Yeah, something like that.
Damn.
Yeah, it was brilliant. What changed? But you see, we Africans haven't embraced the power of information, because the one who controls the information controls the minds of the masses. So
we're in the age of data.
Yeah, yeah, we're embracing it, but we're still not using it effectively enough to effect a paradigm shift within our people.
Totally.
Propagating, we have our media houses, but propagating the West's agenda. That is the problem. When we're talking about the gay rights and whatever, is it our agenda, you know? Or do we want to be politically correct?
Well, that's a whole other Pandora.
Yeah, it's a whole other for another, but I'm just giving an example. In there, but not to offend anyone, but I'm saying, Africa, we have bigger problems.
That's true.
That should not be the priority when a head of state comes over. You know, we want this, you know, gay rights. Okay, we do. I think that everyone should be treated equally, yes. But we have more serious issues like starvation, like good governance, you know, value addition. I've really evolved since then, because it's neocolonialism. And China has really stepped in terms of trade in Africa. But if we look at it, most governments have let in Chinese products at the expense of their local industries. Because, of course, Chinese enjoys economies of scale in terms of production. But if you see where they begun, you know, the emerging tigers, as they're called, they started with India started with cottage industries, which were later on developed. But yes, that leadership is what is lacking in Africa.
And but have you noticed that would call it the period of industrialization? There have been different periods. There was at one point there was Singapore. You know,
yes.
Singapore, Malaysia, and then China came after, actually.
Yes, China was the last in that group.
And based on that also, what happened to Africa is that in itself, industrialization in itself, also affects Africa. Now, what do I mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
We produce the raw material, right?
Yeah.
To help with the industrialization.
Yes, indeed.
And once they're done with their industrialization, then our sales also drop. We are no longer in control of the market prices because there's no demand.
Yes, and we're not part of any other stage in the value chain.
Exactly.
Except, you know, the providing the raw material. That's exactly where the problem is.
So you find that Africa develops based on that, and then it stagnates, and then it develops again, and then it stagnates.
Yeah, waiting for the next boom.
Imagine.
Yeah, now electric cars. So, yes, minerals and what's needed for the transformation. But it's sad. It's really sad. But I like something that one of our African presidents did, the president of Ghana, Addo.
Oh, man, I saw that. That was impressive, though.
Yeah,
you mean with the cocoa?
Yes, yeah, indeed.
That was crazy.
Yeah, because he and by the way, he was the first African leader to be invited to Switzerland in 60 years.
Oh, wow.
But they have profited from the cocoa from Ghana for centuries. We've known Switzerland for chocolates and, of course, watches, precision in terms of, you know, what do you call them? Chronograms,
yeah.
Watches.
So, and banks.
Yes,
and
and stashing. Actually, those guys, then.
Because Africa, I think Africa stash. Africa should be one of their biggest customers.
Yes, we are. And you see, some of these guys who stash, dictators who stash their country's wealth in Switzerland, die, and Switzerland never really wants to declare and say, no, nobody's asked for this money, because nobody knows about it. It's only the dictator. And Switzerland gains. So actually, they're gaining from a lot of ill-gotten, finance. Sorry to say. If you're hiding money, and, we have World Trade Organization, and we have all these world bodies that should be looking to such issues, the plunder of other countries, let alone Africa. But Africa more so is their biggest customer. So anyway, all the same, back to Addo. Addo just told them that, yes, I'm not selling you our cocoa anymore. Yeah, we're not doing it. In fact, you guys are giving us, our farmers are suffering. You guys don't pay them well. We're not gaining from this relationship, and we've let it run for so many years. Now we're going to establish our own industries and start value-adding.
I saw their faces, man.
Whoa. Oh, those guys, their jaws were on the floor. What do you see?
Red was the color in the room.
So now, I wouldn't be surprised if they start discrediting this man, because it starts with propaganda. Yeah. Oh, democracy, in the name of democracy, whatever. And then they start, stories flowing around so to discredit the person because you made a stand.
Yeah.
And that's what happens to me, with what, just the same thing that they did to Gaddafi.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
it's been an amazing show,
Yes.
As usual, I call you the super co-host. That's Patrick for you. That's Patrick for you guys, man. It's been an amazing show.
Yes.
Any last word you'd like to throw in?
Yes, I'd like to say that Africa has great potential, and in the coming podcast, we want to focus on the strengths of Africa. We don't only want to focus on the problems, but the solutions and the beauty of Africa. We want to project Africa in a positive light, but at the same time, educate our people on the history, the genesis. We have to know where we began from to know how we shall proceed on.
So, 100% true.
Yeah. So it's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. This is the first, but it's going to be amazing. It's only going to get better because there's so much to talk about.
100%.
Yes.
Yeah, fantastic. So to our viewers, thanks for joining us this week on The Baraza. You can catch our episodes on Spotify or Google Podcasts or via RSS so that you'll never miss a show. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating, or if you'd simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us a lot. Yep. Be sure to tune in next week for our next episode. I will leave you with a parting shot, and this is just to, make you think a bit. It's a quote. It's a quote by Malcolm X. I love Malcolm X, man.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, he had this interesting quote, and he said, "You can't hate the roots of a tree and not hate the tree."
Yes, I read. Wow, powerful.
So you can't hate Africa and not hate yourself.
Exactly.
Have a blessed week, guys.
Bye.
Bye.